Europe's markets fall as concerns mount over Italy. And are there enough jobs being created in India? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. There are calls for protests on the streets of Italy after a technocrat was appointed prime minister. The country is likely to return to the polls within months after the president prevented a populist coalition from appointing a finance minister because he raised the possibility of Italy giving up the euro currency. Dr. Ian Kearns has written a book called Collapse: Europe After the European Union. He says Italy's president has merely delayed the populists taking power.
The populists won the election essentially by arguing that a group of bankers, elites and the Eurozone had been running Italy for years and that the people should take the country back. Politically, effectively what the president has just said is that the populists can't have the government they want because bankers, elites and the Eurozone are a bit spooked by it. And that just reaffirms the populist narrative. What we'll end up with, highly likely, is back in the same scenario but with a bigger populist victory, a weaker president and the same dynamics in the markets, which is likely to trigger a sovereign debt crisis in Italy and could take Italy all the way to an exit scenario to the euro.
If you look at markets, though, borrowing costs are nowhere near the level they were at the height of the eurozone debt crisis. And so won't the eurozone ride this out just like it has previous crises?
Little bits of progress have been made since the last crisis, but nothing structural has happened to take the possibility of a euro exit off the table. Italy is a much bigger problem than something like Greece and has the capacity to bring the whole system down. Leaders are being complacent because I think they assume that in the heat of a crisis, they'll make the decisions that are necessary, but only in the heat of a crisis. They'll turn around to their publics and their publics will be with them. And it's not clear at all that that's going to be the case.
Ian Kearns. Let's see the numbers. Italian banks have fallen about 4% this morning, while the country's main index is now down 14% over the past 3 weeks. The country's cost of borrowing, the two-year note, has risen by the most in one day for 25 years. Now, parents have become Britain's ninth largest mortgage lender. Last year, they gave their children $9 billion as younger generations struggle with soaring property prices. But the amount has fallen this year. Nigel Wilson is the chief executive of Legal & General, one of Britain's biggest investors.
Parents pretty much across the world are helping their children to get onto housing ladders in Western markets where house prices in a number of areas have increased just too quickly.
Is the fall in parental help this year down to parents just having less money, or is it perhaps because children have got a bit more cash themselves?
I think it's a bit of all of the above. In general, for the under 35s, 60% get help from their parents. The 45 to 55 year olds, 20% of even that age group get help from their parents here in the UK.
Isn't the problem only going to get worse because parents hand over their life savings to their children to help them get on the property ladder, and that is by its very nature inflationary, pushing up property prices?
Yes, I mean, the bank of mum and dad have contributed towards house price inflation. The solution is the same solution that we've had for a number of years, which is more supply.
Thank you, Nigel.
You're welcome.
Now, it's estimated that more than 12 million people between the ages of 15 and 29 will enter the Indian labour force every year for the next two decades. So is the country creating enough jobs to go around? The BBC's Rahul Tandon reports.
The Indian Railways have advertised for 90,000 new employees. Guess how many people have applied? 23 million. Amongst them, Arania and her family.
We desperately want one of these jobs. It would change our lives.
I've come to the office of a successful marketing company in Kolkata. Ramji Ray runs this firm.
There's no growth in the economy and jobs are not getting created. And unless the government focuses on the rural sector, there is no hope really for India. If I have one vacancy, I would at least have about 700 to 800 applicants coming in within 2 days to 3 days.
Across India over the last few months, there have been lots of protests like this one. Lots of businessmen are annoyed that the government's new taxation system has slowed down the economy and seen a loss of jobs. Here's the Civil Aviation Minister, Jayant Sinha.
There is in fact a tremendous amount, an upsurge in job creation that is happening, but it is not happening in the traditional economy as we are seeing everywhere else around the world. It's happening in the new economy, it's happening in entrepreneurship, it's happening in new kinds of jobs.
The government says it's created millions of jobs since it came to power. Talk to businessmen and women, though, and they'll give you a very different picture. But one thing that both agree on is that India needs to change its education system and make it more vocational. With me is economist Saswati Chowdhury.
It needs to have a drastic makeover. We need to shift from the present education system that we have. Somehow the engineering education in this country has suffered because of the mushrooming of just private engineering colleges. I mean, people just thought that we will just go into a college, get a degree, and we'll be getting a job. But things are not so rosy now.
There are lots of issues that will decide the government's future, but it looks like job creation is moving to the top of the list.
Rahul Tandon reporting. And finally, it seems British drinkers can't sip any more Prosecco. Sales of Italian sparkling wine have been soaring in recent years, but industry analysts say the UK has now hit peak Prosecco because the drink has lost its once luxury image and become, well, commonplace. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.